Hey, welcome to the Double Drop Kick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And this is the wrestling podcast where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with, and we also talk about, just in general, the stuff you grew up with.
That's right.
Before we get into our topic today, which is Batman movies. Love it.
I've been waiting on this one.
Oh, yes.
Because I want people to know you give me, and I know you're like, Mark, shut up, because I want to slap my hands and say we're going to the gimmick table. All right? That's what you're planning on doing, right?
Nah.
Okay, well, before we do anything, I want people to understand that Heath gives me a lot of credit for knowing a lot about wrestling. And I would say he's probably right. I probably deserve something. But as much as I know about wrestling, this man knows about Batman.
Yes, thank you.
And I want people to know what you know. So this is a two-part. We're not going to do the second part
right
today. And right. It'll be a while before we do it. But we're going to talk about the movies. And then at some point down the road, we're going to talk about your favorite Batman stories.
Yes.
And he brought me a huge stack of comics so I would know what he was talking about.
Yeah, yeah,
but,
yeah.
I'm hooked on Batman again because of you.
Well, thank you.
And because of Gotham, I started watching Gotham, started talking to you, and you started recommending all these books to read to me, and I've been reading them, and it's great. And I just wanted people to know that all the joking I do with you on the show is just for entertainment purposes. I'm really interested and really ready to hear what you have to say about Batman. Now go ahead and go back. Finish up what you was going to say.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark. And we're not really throwing to our gimmick table per se today.
No.
It is Christmas time.
Yes.
The holiday season, whatever you want to call it.
That's right. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Here's what we want you to do. It's crazy out there. I don't know if you've ever been to Walmart between the months of January and December.
I went yesterday.
It can be crazy.
Yeah.
And we want you to be safe.
That's right. That's what we care about.
We want you to be safe because if something happens to you, you're not there to hit that download button and click on that banner. So yeah, here's
what. Not the fact that you can't provide for your family or that they would miss you. Oh, we're worried about that with that one download that we're going to lose if something bad happens to you.
Right. Because you need to be around to pass this show down to your children and to your children's
to
children.
Your children's children.
So what we want to make this easy for you, right above in the show notes, click on that banner. It's to Amazon. That helps our show out. I do 90% of my Christmas shopping. I do online. I do it through Amazon. This doesn't cost you a thing. If you're on DoubleDropKick.com, you click any of our Amazon banners. It takes you, not going to take you around, you know, the Mississippi River, and you got to click. One click gets you to Amazon. That's all you got to do. Then sign into your account. We don't want your credit card information.
No.
We ain't going to
get it.
We don't get
any of that. It doesn't add any charges. And let me say something.
Yes.
Because you're a lot nicer than I am.
All right.
But I'm going to just say it.
Okay.
We give you this show for free.
We do.
It's not free for us to do it.
No.
People don't understand. We have to pay for the bandwidth. We have to pay for the host. Well, you do. I actually have to pay.
Mark has to pay for the Mountain Dew.
I pay for the Mountain Dews. I pay for all the shoot interviews you hear us talking about. I won't get into some of the other things I pay for that we may or may not share passwords to. But all of this stuff is not free for us to do this show. It's our hobby. It's a minimal cost to us.
Right.
And it's a hobby for us.
Right.
But we give it to you free.
Yeah.
There are podcasts out there that charge.
Russo.
Yeah. We don't do that, you know. Now I'm golfing for real, yeah. But all we're asking you to do is before you start doing your shopping, after you get those gift cards, go to DoubleDropKick.com first, click on the Help the Show banner, follow the Amazon link. Doesn't add anything to your fee. It's not going to add anything to what you're going to pay Amazon. And it just kicks a little bit back to us to help us offset some of the cost of doing the
That's
show.
That's exactly right.
We're just working, man.
Yeah.
Well, I am.
Yeah. Hey, I work 2 days a week.
That's right.
Sometimes three.
Sometimes three.
Let's get right into the topic. We're just talking about Batman movies. We agreed just a few minutes ago We're not going to talk about the 1940s serial movies that were at the theaters. Going to leave that one out, and we're sparing you a lot. We're going to start with the 1966 movie.
Yes, sir.
That kicked off the television show Batman, mm-hmm. which just came out on DVD, on Blu-ray and DVD.
Yeah.
Guess where you can get that?
I bet you can get it on Amazon.com by following that link.
That's right.
DoubleDropKick.com.
So,
hey, have you got it yet?
I do not.
Because I knew you said you were going to.
It's on my wish list. Yeah. I have the movie on DVD. I've had that for a long time. But yeah, that's something I really would like to add to my collection.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. That's the Batman we kind of grew up on. Now, it was obviously in the late 60s. We were born in the 70s, but
it was in heavy syndication.
Heavy syndication.
Through the 80s.
Yes.
I mean, it was always, I always remember it being on TV.
But for a long time, I didn't know that there was a movie.
Right. Right, I didn't.
I'm not. I can't remember how that came back around that they started reintroducing the movie.
Did they split that movie up into a couple of sections and maybe just ran it as part of the show?
I don't know the answer.
I don't either.
It pains me to say.
This talking about how you knew all this stuff about
that's
Batman.
One. That's the one thing today.
Thing that you're not going to know.
Let me say what I did like about that movie. Basically all the silliness of the show is captured in this one movie.
Oh, no doubt.
The bat copter, the bat shark repellent.
Yeah.
All of that. But then you've also got all these villains, a who's who of comedic genius, some of these people. Burgess Meredith and Cesar Romero and Frank Gorshin.
Yeah.
And,
Julie Newmar.
It was a different lady playing Catwoman, I think, in this movie. Then there were three different ladies that played.
Yeah, but this was Julie Newmar, right? It should have been.
I don't remember her name.
Because Lee Merriweather played her later.
That's right. You're right. Yes.
And Eartha Kitt.
You are correct, sir.
Eartha Kitt played her. But Julie Newmar is the one that everybody looks back on and remembers. As being the hottest of all the cat women, let's just call it.
You are correct on that. The plot of the movie, and I don't know if this is what you want to talk about on this.
Listen, this is our show. We can talk about whatever we want to.
Let me just say, when you tell me, hey, we got a Batman movie, all the villains are joining together. They're coming against Batman. You have me hooked. What's the plot? Well, they're going to get all the leaders of the UN, and they have stolen this device it's an evaporator. And what it does, it takes all the water out of your body and turns you into a pile of dust.
Sounds like something that would be the plot of a Batman comic book. There was always somebody was always doing something with water in Batman. I've noticed. You know what I mean? We're going to evaporate you, or we're going to poison the water. It's always something to do with the water.
I don't know the phrase I'm looking for. They weren't trying to pull one over on you on that show. You knew what you were going to get. And it's in the movie. I watched the movie and the show. I loved the Batcave. I loved the bat poles. I loved the movie because it showed them go up the bat poles, which you didn't get that on the show often.
Right. I remember when he's running around with that bomb.
Yes.
That is utterly ridiculous.
Yes.
But I tell you what, if you watch that under the right pharmaceutical conditions, it's nail biting.
And can I just say, everybody, and I haven't gone back and watched all the episodes, but I can tell you in this movie that nobody mailed it in. You could have.
Adam West, they were overdoing it. I mean, they were performing Batman as though it were a Shakespearean play.
Yes. Yes.
You know? And for guys of our generation, give or take 10 years.
Yeah,
I would even go so far as to say the other way, not 10 years younger than us, but guys who are 10 years older than us to our age. This was Batman.
Yes,
Adam West was Batman to us until Alan Moore changed things.
Right.
I mean, not. I'm sorry, Frank Miller.
Yeah.
Changed things. So we had smiling Batman for most of our life. And even on the Super Friends, it was the smiling Batman. And on the front of the comics, he was smiling Batman.
And he was Batman where shaving cream came out of his mouth.
Batman was for guys like us until, like, Frank Miller. You read, you know, The Dark Knight and Year One.
So I'll never forget. Do you want to give ratings to these movies before I move on?
Man, I don't care.
Let me segue. 23 years later, Batman comes out, directed by Tim Burton.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say this before we dive into the movie. When Batman 89 came out, I remember going to see that with some friends. And I just remember someone saying to me, well, that's not Batman.
Yeah.
That's not who Batman is. And I'm thinking, no, what was on TV is not who Batman is.
Right.
This is closer than the TV show was. But you had a generation that grew up on that TV show, and I don't know what they were expecting when Tim Burton and Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson do this movie. I remember as a kid growing up, Mark, we didn't have, you know, the internet, didn't have electricity, didn't have running water and things like that.
I pooped in an outhouse.
But every now and then, this rumor would pop up because you had the Superman movies, and I believe Superman 4 was made in 87. And just all the rumors, Batman movie, and it's never got off the ground. And then they're finally going to do it. Do you remember how you felt when Michael Keaton was chosen to be Batman?
I liked Beetlejuice.
Okay.
So I wasn't like a lot of people that had this incredible outrage over Michael Keaton. But I do remember thinking, what?
Yeah.
Because I was a huge fan. Now, this would be ridiculous, too. I was a big, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone.
Right.
Probably Stallone a little more than Schwarzenegger. And I remember thinking, why didn't they get one of those two guys?
Right.
Because they were the action heroes at the time. And then you had Bruce Willis coming along.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's like this trinity of guys that I thought would have been perfect. Right. Or even Clint Eastwood to play an older Batman.
Yeah.
And then they picked Michael Keaton. And I was like, I don't get it, man.
There were rumors at times that they were going to do Dark Knight Returns,
right?
Which is the Frank Miller comic that just changed Batman forever, and that Eastwood was going to play that. That would have been great.
Yeah, that would have been. I remember hearing that.
Let me say, as many of you know, I've stated on the show before, I do have a contract that prohibits me from saying anything bad about Batman. I have spoken to my legal counsel. That has been waived today.
I'm glad.
I want to say this. When I heard Michael Keaton, I wasn't a fan.
Right.
I saw that movie 4 times in the theater. I've seen that. There's no telling how many times I've seen that movie.
I watched it a few weeks ago.
Yeah. And so, to me, the problem with Michael Keaton, my problem with Michael Keaton, is not that I don't believe or can't believe that he's Batman.
Right.
I don't believe he's Bruce Wayne.
There you go.
I thought
Because isn't that really the crux of the character? Anybody, you could put me in a suit that had muscles formed into it.
Yes.
And I could play Batman.
Yes.
Because it's a stuntman doing all the real work.
Right.
Basically, all you got to do is walk tough.
Yeah.
It's Bruce Wayne is who you have to be.
Yeah.
So you would agree. I mean, that's why I think Ben Affleck will do okay. Because he played good Bruce Wayne. It doesn't matter what he's like in the suit. It matters how he is as Bruce Wayne.
That.
And we'll get into that later, I know.
That is you're exactly right on that. So for me, what are we now, 25? Golly, is that 25 years?
Can you believe that?
25 years later,
You're getting old.
I feel old. There were some things as a kid that bothered me in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the Batmobile was armed with machine guns and missiles.
Right.
The fact that he literally tries to kill the Joker.
Yes.
Let me stop right there. First of all, Batman doesn't use guns. That's the whole deal. Batman
right.
doesn't kill.
You're right. There's a huge reason that he doesn't use guns.
That's right.
And then to incorporate guns into everything he owned. I agree. I didn't like that.
So, you've made it in this movie, so Batman uses guns. Batman has a gun, and he misses the Joker. Mm-hmm. You're telling me, okay? You're telling me that Batman is using a gun, he's in the Batwing, he's shooting all his guns and all his missiles at this guy standing in the middle of the street.
Just standing there.
He's just standing there, and he misses him?
Yep. No, it is utterly ridiculous.
Now, what did you think of Jack Nicholson as the Joker?
At the time, I thought it was really good.
Yes.
And I still think he had his own take, and he definitely went over the top.
Yeah.
But it was good. I like Jack Nicholson's Joker.
I agree with you. I think he did this superb job of balancing the Cesar Romero version from the TV show.
Uh-huh.
And that this guy is nuts.
Yeah.
He's the clown prince of crime, but he's crazy.
Right.
Like, there is something seriously deep-rooted wrong with him. The guy needs some counseling.
Right.
And
I think he did a good job before the transformation of showing you that this is right, like, bubbling under the surface with this guy anyway. And that just pushed him over the top.
What was great, Jerry Hall, who at the time was, I don't know if it was Mick Jagger's wife or they were, Jack Nicholson's looking in the movie, the mirror, and he's getting all ready, and she comes up, she's like, "You look fine," and he looks at her and says, "I didn't ask."
Love
that.
Yeah.
What did you think of them tying his character, Jack Napier, and making him the killer of Batman's parents?
I didn't like it.
Why?
Because you and I have had... I like the idea that it was just a random act of crime.
Okay.
That his parents got killed. I like that. I think that adds more to the mythology of the character, that why he wants to fight crime than it being this massive conspiracy.
Well, see, at the time, and I got to remember, because if you don't read comic books, they like to change things. A lot.
Yes.
And there was a time where Batman's parent, the murder of his parents was part of a criminal conspiracy.
Right. And I think it kind of is now, right?
I'm going to be honest.
It is.
Because
if you read The Court of Owls and you
I've got to go back and read that because I think
it's part of in the New 52.
Yeah.
It is part of the deal, the Court of Owls. Maybe we're not directly responsible, but with his grandfather.
Yeah.
They were responsible for some things with his grandfather and the building of Gotham.
Yeah.
They were behind there, and they had these secret rooms built into all these buildings across town. And he finds out about all that. Those are good. You recommended those to me, and I have been devouring those books.
I agree. I thought it was tying up a loose end that didn't need to be tied.
Right. The fact that it was just that his parents just were in the wrong place at the wrong time is what made him Batman. Like, this is just crime for crime's sake, and he needs to clean it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think is a better story than this massive criminal conspiracy.
Yeah. What did you think of, I thought Kim Basinger did fine.
You know what, as Vicky? I did too, and I've always liked her. I thought she was gorgeous.
Yeah,
back then. I just, my issues with the movie were the fact, and they do this with, dang near, Spider-Man did it too, I think. Mm-hmm. He'd take that doggone mask off for anybody. You know what I mean? Like, the whole deal is he doesn't let anybody know who he is to protect them.
Right.
But in this movie, and Alfred is like, he lets her into the Batcave.
Yeah.
I would fire Alfred.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? What are you doing?
Let me stop you there, because I've got some things I want to say about the mask when we talk about Batman Returns, if that's all right. But I second what you're saying, absolutely.
Well, why don't I just shut up and let you talk?
No, that was good. That was good. What did you think of the ending that the Joker dies?
I didn't like it.
I didn't either.
At the time, I didn't like it, and I still don't like it.
Yeah.
It was one. Here's the thing. Like, I was so excited to see the movie, just like you. And we didn't see it together, but maybe we did one of those four times. I don't know, because I saw it a few times, too.
Yeah.
But I saw it, I think, with Charles Privet and Derek McLaughlin. I think that's who I saw it with.
The Bus 17 crew.
Yeah. The Bus 17 crew. Did we all ride Bus 17?
No, I was Bus 4, and we were rivals.
Oh, were we?
No,
I didn't even realize that. We were, much like a lot of enemies that I've got, I don't even realize.
I think Bus 4, our rivals were Bus 11. That was kind of the Liberty route.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You went way out there, and Charles and Derek lived over near one another, and then I lived. But I don't think I rode the same bus as them. Anyway, way off base, because me and Charles used to ride to school together.
Right, right.
We all rode to school
together. Before carpooling was cool.
Yeah, we were carpooling when carpooling wasn't cool. so we did. But I don't. Anyway, I remember having this big expectations for it, and I'm always the kind of person that even if I don't really like it, mm-hmm. I will convince myself that I liked it more than I did.
Yes.
And then upon second and third viewing, I remember getting the VHS and watching it and going, this is cool, but they shouldn't have killed the Joker, man.
Yeah.
Because how do you bring it? He doesn't die in the books. That's one of the points. I mean, even when you think he's dead, he shows back up and sews his face back on and goes on about his business.
Right,
you know?
Right, right.
And I didn't like it, man. I didn't like him killing him.
Yeah. There are a lot of things I loved about it. Just the fact that they got Batman on film.
Right.
That was huge.
Right.
And it was, I just think they missed the boat on a lot of things. And I also think just as the 1966 version, that's not Batman. I would also argue that the 1989 version, that's also not Batman.
No, I don't think it is. It definitely, philosophically, is not Batman.
Right.
I thought the look was great. I thought the look of the suit was...
Yes.
It was great. I really do. Now, I'm more of a fan of the Jim Lee gray suit, which I think they're going to use in the...
Batman.
I love the gray suit with just the black bat on the cover.
I too loved the look of the suit.
Yeah.
But it had zero functionality.
True.
I'm just saying
it was a big rubber latex looking
right.
Suit,
he couldn't even move in it.
Right.
So the fights were so.
Yeah, they were clunky. I tell you what was cool though.
Okay.
The Batwing when the moon.
And
maybe you were going to bring that up, but when he goes straight up and the Batwing stalls in front of the moon and creates the bat symbol in the sky.
That's iconic.
Come on, man. That was a mark out moment.
Oh,
when that happened.
Absolutely.
Now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Is that your favorite Batmobile?
No.
What's your favorite Batmobile?
Of the movies?
Just in. Whether it be the Adam West, that.
To me.
The Tumbler.
I liked. there were some things that I liked about the Tumblr.
Oh, yeah. It was badass now. I mean, don't get me wrong, but it didn't look like a Batmobile.
Well, I think that Christopher Nolan decided that the concept of a Batmobile was far-fetched.
Oh, yeah, I don't disagree with you.
But I would say, now, I loved how they answered this question. How does Batman leave his car parked in a bad neighborhood?
Right.
Shields.
Yeah.
I love that the car was, they did a lot of things great with the car.
Yeah.
The car having bombs, wasn't a fan of.
No, I'm not talking about that. I mean, just the design of the car. I'm not talking about the functionality. I mean, the design of that Batmobile.
Yeah, I think it stands the test of time. Dude, mark when we go to the Gotham City at Six Flags and they got that Batmobile there, we always get a picture with it. I just don't know if it's my favorite.
Right. So you think the Tumblr maybe? Or would you have to think about it?
I don't know. I would have to think about it.
Yeah. I also like the Adam West one. I think that's pretty iconic.
Right. The Adam West one's good, but Gotham City gets cold in the winter.
True.
And you're riding with your windows down.
You want to put that top up, yeah.
It ain't got a top.
You want to put them T-tops back on.
anything else you want to say about Batman 89?
I'm good.
I will say, at the time, the technology they had did a great job. Most of that movie was filmed on a set.
Right.
So it lacked a lot of realism. Because you're looking at a lot of models and a lot of...
I do want to add, I love the opening because you think that you're going to get an order. If you don't, because there again, no internet, no anything.
Yeah.
You go in and you see two parents and a child walking down an alley.
Yeah.
And you're at Batman and you think, I'm going to get an origin story here.
Yeah.
And you didn't.
No.
And the guy goes to rob him and then Batman shows up and stops. What happened to him growing up from happening to somebody else.
They rob him and then they're on the roof counting money.
That's right. But either way, you think that you're going to get an origin story and you don't. You kind of get Batman year one.
Yeah.
You know.
That caught me off guard that the movie started and he's already Batman.
Yeah, because that's so against what they normally...
Yeah.
Do in a comic book movie, like even where they'll tell an origin story and then reboot it a few years later and tell the origin story again.
Right.
It was ridiculous for the Spider-Man movies to do that. When they told the story so good.
Oh, yeah.
With Tobey Maguire and or whatever his name is and Kirsten Dunst and Sam Raimi. That was such a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they told his origin perfectly. Was it perfect? I say perfectly.
It had Macho Man Randy Savage in it, and that's all people need to know.
I didn't like the web shooting organically because I always thought part of the appeal of the character was that he could run out of webbing.
Yeah, and he was smart and he would
have to make it through without the webbing. So I didn't like that he never ran out of webbing.
Yeah. Let's move on to Batman Returns, the first movie. Sets records. Of course, they're doing a sequel.
Oh, yeah.
As Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman. And
I spent like 6 months after I watched that movie like pining over Michelle Pfeiffer.
See, I didn't.
Oh, I did, man.
Because she's crazy in this movie.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, certifiably nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you dated her, you ain't even going to get a spot on the couch. She's got 50 dang cats.
Yeah, but man, she was hot.
Listen, you know who wasn't hot in that movie? Danny DeVito.
You're right about that.
Who, a new twist on the Penguin, that he's kind of this deformed monster rescued by penguins at the zoo, kind of the shark on that a little bit. The opening scene... They do the Penguin origin, and then it's Batman fighting the circus gang in town. Something that they cut, I just read this the other day, because I believe this movie was released around Christmas time.
Yes, it was. and it's a Christmas themed movie.
Yes.
And I watched, you just so everybody knows, all four of these movies over the past 2 months.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm not.
I was going to watch Batman and Robin last night.
Yeah, that was.
But instead, I watched the WWE Network. I watched Paul Heyman.
Well, see, I got that set that you've got. I don't have it, but I've got the one that had the four movies in one pack on Blu-ray.
Right, right.
And I found it for like $8 a few months back. So I was like, you know, I hadn't watched these movies in years. I want to go back.
See, my Blu-ray player just went out the other day. I bought Elf on Blu-ray, got home, my Blu-ray player quit working.
Man.
I'm telling you, I was living right. I guess not anymore.
I guess not.
But the opening scene, he's fighting this circus gang, and there's this clown or jester blowing fire. Mm-hmm. And Batman pulls up to him and does this thing with the Batmobile where it does does a 180.
Uh-huh.
And then he shoots the guy with fire.
Yeah.
Again.
Not
something Batman would do. What I was going to say.
Michael Keaton was a murderous Batman.
He was.
Yeah.
He was.
Mm-hmm.
He was like Arrow off of season one. But they were going to have a Batman-themed toy store in this movie.
Uh-huh.
That was going to be very prominent. They ended up not doing that.
It's probably a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Because we'll get to it. But I thought that was where the one with Clooney, everything was bat. This and that. Yeah, that was stupid. But anyway, go ahead. We'll get to that.
In the second one, I didn't like the suit.
Yeah.
In the first one, he kind of has abs, and then the second one, it's like a shell on his abs. I just didn't.
He
could move even less than the first movie.
Right.
And you talked about the cow, how he's revealing himself to everybody. And he gets to the end, and the whole point is this is a man. He's always got his suit on. He can change at any moment. He can't even get his. He has to rip the cowl off. You know, you can't pick those things up down at the store.
No, they don't sell them at the jockey lot.
And
he would never have revealed who he was to Catwoman.
No.
Never.
But there's other people there, too. Is it?
Right. Yeah, there's like everybody's hanging around. And he's like, oh, man, forget it. I need to tell her who I am. We can't be together.
You know? And Max Schreck's like, Bruce, what are you doing here?
Bruce Wayne?
Let's talk about Max Schreck for a minute. In this movie, Catwoman and the Penguin are not even the main villains.
Right.
They create a character not from the comic book.
That's what I was going to ask you.
I didn't get that.
Yeah, me either.
You're telling me Batman at that point in time has been around for over 40 years. And you're telling
me. You can't bring out Egghead
or
somebody. You know, somebody.
The Riddler.
The Toy Man.
But I didn't like. And the fact that they're building, that it's all built around a power plant.
Yeah.
That's actually going to suck the power. I just didn't get it. I didn't believe that Michael Keaton and Christopher Walken were having this boardroom battle. I didn't think they had that in them. I didn't believe, again, I didn't believe Michael Keaton was Bruce Wayne.
Right, right.
Now, I will say, the moment when they're dancing and, you know, mistletoe is deadly if you eat it, but a kiss is even deadlier.
Yeah.
And they realize who they are.
Right.
That was a pretty cool.
Right.
That was a pretty cool moment.
Yeah. I have always found it ridiculous that nobody would ever figure out who these people are with their alter ego. So I don't mind it if somebody puts two and two together.
Right.
But
yes.
When you flat out have Alfred bring Vicki Vale to the Batcave, that bothers me.
Yeah. I'm trying to think back, and you've watched these more. How was the Batcave portrayed?
It was pretty much the same thing.
In the second one, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty much the same way. I don't remember him spending a lot of time in the Batcave.
No, I don't. I don't, you know, either.
There was a lot of just out in the street, out in the sewers kind of stuff.
What did you, speaking of sewers,
I'm sure they were in the Batcave, but I don't remember it standing out.
What did you think of the portrayal of the Penguin?
Well, it's iconic enough that if you still to this day read the comics, he looks more like that version of the Penguin than any other version there's been, really. Reading the New 52, The Death of the Family, where the Joker returns and he enlists the Penguin's help. He looks a lot like the Danny DeVito. So somewhere between the Danny DeVito and the Burgess Meredith portrayal is what they kind of draw him like now.
Yeah. I think 20 years from now, the iconic one will be the kid off of Gotham.
Oh, I do too.
I think that guy is nailing it.
He is, man. He's got the walk.
He is.
He slowly becomes the Penguin.
I felt that, again, if you grew up on the TV show, my fine feathered finks.
Yeah.
You know, you got Burgess Meredith there. And that's not, you know, now you got a mutant playing the Penguin.
Right. And Pee Wee Herman for a father.
Yeah. No wonder the guy is messed up.
I think he was better off in the sewers than having Pee Wee Herman raise him.
I did like the plot line of him, of the Penguin running for mayor.
Yeah.
And trying to kill all the firstborn children. I thought all of that.
That's dark, man. That's really dark.
I thought that was a better plot line than the power plant deal.
Right, right.
That to me was terrible. Let's move on. Now, okay, so we get to the end of Batman Forever. We didn't like him killing the Joker. And in the end of this one, you kind of believe Catwoman's dead, and then at the end they give you this shot of her.
Yeah, she ain't dead.
She came back as Halle Berry. And then the Penguin's dead.
Now, have you seen that Halle Berry movie? I haven't.
I will not.
Is that supposed to be the continuation of that?
No, because they do a whole new origin story.
Okay, I didn't know.
Actually got cat powers.
Nice. I've never seen it.
I never will. I don't. Yeah. Let's make an agreement here and now. That won't ever be spoken of.
All right. We'll never talk about it.
I apologize for bringing it up.
Yeah, you did. You introduced the international library.
So let's move on to Batman Forever.
Okay. I thought, first of all, let me say this about the previous two. That was the last one directed by Tim Burton.
Yes.
Even though he had some producing roles on the next two. And just like every other Tim Burton movie out there, that I can recall, there are things about it that I love and I think are visionary and I think are genius. But ultimately, at the end, I always wind up going, eh.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It was the same with Planet of the Apes. I thought it was this great movie and then it like fell apart right at the end.
The newer
one. The new one with Mark Wahlberg in it.
Oh.
Directed. You know what I mean?
Oh.
I liked the first part of it, and I was like, man, this is awesome, man. Yeah. This is what
I didn't think it was as bad. Oh, yeah, I forgot Tim Burton did that. Yeah.
And then kind of at the end, it just fizzles out.
I loved how the apes were portrayed in that movie.
Yeah, I do too, where they were different species, and they were all. Now, they pale in comparison to the Rise of Planet of the Apes and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Now that those are some of my favorite movies of the past few years.
Well, that's another episode, Mark.
Yeah. I've got all of those on the DVD.
The Batman Forever, the reins are handed over to Joel Schumacher. Let me say this.
Joel Schumacher is to Batman what Vince Russo is to professional wrestling.
Well said. That is well said, my friend. When Batman Forever came out, it's 1995. I was spending the summer in England. I was interning at a church over there. Well, the movies come out a month and a half later in England than in America. And everybody over there knew I was a big Batman fan. So I have, because it was coming out later over there, I had every Batman movie souvenir book, anything I could get that had Batman on it over there. Magazines and books, I was getting it. When the movie came out, we had a church board meeting that Thursday night, and they were doing a special screening at the theater, which was the place I was staying at the time was about a 2 mile bike ride. Mm-hmm. At that point in time, I'd not ridden my bike at night very often. We got done with the meeting. I said, I've got time. And I rushed, and I got there just a few minutes. I got there just a few minutes late, but got to see it. Because I missed the beginning of it, I got up the next morning, saw the first showing of it on Friday morning. Friday afternoon, get a call. Hey, we're going to see Batman tonight. Me and the boys, went with another group. So I saw it three times in the first 24 hours. And it was dark. What I mean by that is it was hard to see the movie.
Right.
Especially the opening scenes, they're doing the thing with the safe. I was like squinting and I'm just trying to see it and what's going on. I don't know why I told any of that.
I don't either. I'm kind of waiting on you to make like you did.
But that's how much I love Batman.
Right. But even if it's not great, you still watch it.
Yeah. Three times in 24 hours. Yeah. I was excited about Batman Forever because I'm a big, number one, big Val Kilmer fan.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, they're adding Robin to the story.
Right.
You've got, at the time, maybe the world's hottest star in Jim Carrey.
Right.
And classic actor Tommy Lee Jones.
Right.
And Nicole Kidman.
Boy. Now, she looks like a freak now.
Yes.
She's the one that messed her face up, not me, so I can say that. But then she did not.
Yeah.
She was a beautiful woman.
Yeah. All right. Let's start right there since you brought Nicole Kidman.
Well, there's a couple of things. Before we do, I want to tell you this.
Okay.
First of all, I found out recently that Tommy Lee Jones hated Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
I also found out that originally they wanted Robin Williams.
Yes.
To be the Riddler.
Yes.
But he wouldn't do it because when they were trying to get Nicholson to be the Joker, he wasn't 100% sure that he wanted to do it. And they told him that they were fixing to sign Robin Williams.
Oh.
And they had some discussions with Robin Williams, but not very serious because they wanted Jack Nicholson to do it. They just used Robin Williams.
And
because of that experience, he turned the role of the Riddler down.
Yeah. He would have been. Okay. All right. Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Robin Williams would have been a great Riddler.
Uh-huh.
If you're wanting him to imitate the Riddler portrayed by Jim Carrey.
Right. I think Jim Carrey was a better Riddler than Robin Williams would have been, personally.
I think I agree with that statement for the kind of Riddler. I think they wrote that part for Jim Carrey.
Right. Right. For the way he was portrayed in that movie.
Right.
He was better than Robin Williams would have been.
But I don't think that was the Riddler. Like, to me, the Riddler is this genius who I
know I
thought
what you're
Jim
saying.
Carrey was great.
Like, he's not campy, and he uses the Riddlers and he uses the puns, but he's also very intelligent.
The Riddler is not a party guy.
No, like in the death of the family, he's just sitting in a cell, and the Joker says, "Are you ready to get out?" And he says, "Yeah, I guess so, because if you need me to help you do something." And he's like, "Well, come on then." And Riddler just breaks out of his cell. And he's like, "How long have you known how to do that?" And he said, "Well, I mean, I figured out about 15 or 20 ways to do it over the past few months. I've just been waiting on the right time."
Oh, my. Yeah.
That's the Riddler. Yeah. He was just waiting on his moment to bust out. He could have busted out anytime he wanted to.
Yeah. In the New 52, the Riddler is a major player.
Yeah.
He was big in the Hush storyline as well. I thought Jim Carrey tried to steal the show.
Oh, no doubt. He's an overactor, you know. He overdoes it sometimes.
And I just felt
Go ahead. Finish that thought.
It's widely known Joel Schumacher was trying to remake. He was trying to make a cartoon. Yeah. He was trying to redo the TV show.
He succeeded with the next one. It's a lot like the TV show.
But what else did you want to say about Jim Carrey?
You were going to say something about Nicole Kidman.
Okay, Nicole Kidman.
I was just wanting to
hear that. She is a psychologist, psychiatrist, smart, brilliant doctor. What doctor dresses like that to go to a crime scene? In the opening part.
You're right.
You get there.
Oh, yeah, her hair was perfect.
I'm like.
It's when she turns around.
No, it didn't bother me when I was 20.
No.
But.
It didn't bother me when I watched it a few weeks ago.
But I'm just thinking. You're not.
What was her name? Chase Meridian?
Chase Meridian.
Yeah.
And then they've got those, she's using those dreams.
Who's got a name like Chase Meridian?
And again.
If I had been born Chase Meridian instead of Mark Whitman, God, what could I have done in life?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? How you doing? I'm Chase Meridian. You don't see Chase Meridian's working in rubber.
That's better than Sami Zayn.
You right about that, boy.
Again, it was one of those deals where they're adding a character that's not in the book.
Right.
Batman had a love interest every other month in the comic book. You couldn't use any of those.
I know it.
You got to bring in a hot woman to let us know Batman may be a little crazy, that Bruce Wayne may have a little bit of psychosis going on.
Right. The man dresses up like a bat and fights crime.
Doesn't dress up like a lion.
Right.
Doesn't dress up like a bear. Dresses up like a bat. A rat with wings.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't need a MacGuffin to tell me. You know what a MacGuffin is?
Yeah. Is that one of the?
No. It's actually not. It's a plot device. It's a.
Gotcha. I skipped that class.
Hitchcock.
Yeah.
It's a term from Hitchcock movie. It's the briefcase that everybody's chasing.
Oh, gotcha.
It's really not. What's in the briefcase is not important. It doesn't matter. It's the fact that that briefcase is what drives the story forward.
Yeah. I thought that the plot with the Riddler developing the device that goes on the TV, I thought that was actually ahead of its time.
Yeah.
But I thought the way they did it was super campy.
Yeah.
Super ridiculous.
It was. I liked the introduction of Robin.
Okay.
Now, I look at Robin like I'm a Happy Days fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have fans that like Robin, fans that don't like Robin, just like on Happy Days. But some people like Chachi and some people don't.
Right.
Okay. I don't like Chachi.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not a big Robin fan. I think Batman works better when he's alone.
Yeah.
But I understand why he's there, why the Robin character exists.
Yeah.
I just prefer Batman working without it.
Right.
But I was a fan of the way they introduced him, that, you know, Dick Grayson had some heroics about him anyway.
Yeah.
And Batman recognized that and then recognized him being an orphan, clearly.
Yeah.
You know. So I didn't have a problem with it. I'm just not a huge Robin fan.
Yeah. I agree with you. I thought the way they did it with Two-Face being responsible for his parents' death, didn't have a problem with that.
No.
I thought the storyline with that whole deal, loved it. The only question I had is, how old is Robin supposed to be?
Right.
Is he a teenager?
Right.
Is he late college teens, age. Early 20s, college age, right?
Yeah.
That was my thing, is when you start out with Robin in his 20s,
yeah,
you don't, the whole, he's Robin the Boy Wonder.
Right.
And I hope eventually we see that in the movies. Really? What would it?
I want to see it be like a 12-year-old.
Yeah,
kid and then,
yeah. I would love to see that. And Fred Savage at the maybe he was rumored along those times a lot of times to be Robin, and that would not have been good.
My goodness, Fred Savage.
Yeah. Hey, he was a big star.
Yeah, he was, man. It's hard to imagine him being Robin.
Yes. Yeah. I would have,
but I was a huge Wonder Years.
I would have as much problem with Fred Savage as I did with Michael Keaton. Yeah,
Michael Keaton is Batman, and Fred Savage is Robin. Fred Savage, even when he was 12, he looked like a 40-year-old man. You know what I mean? Think about it. He had the features. He was like a little tiny 40-year-old. He looks exactly the same today at 40 as he did when he was 12. He's just a foot and a half taller.
Yeah. Now, what did you think of Val Kilmer?
I liked Val Kilmer. I thought Val Kilmer, for those four movies, was the best.
Agreed. Because
he had a jawline. He doesn't anymore, but he had a jawline that filled the cowl out.
Yeah. I thought that I liked the suit okay. I love the Robin suit. I thought on the Robin suit was phenomenal.
Yeah. Were there nipples on this suit? It was the next one that had the prominent nipples. This one had them, I think.
But the thing about this one was
it had this huge cod piece.
Yeah.
That I was like, that seems unnecessary. Because he flipped and he put it like right in the camera.
Yeah. I didn't like the Batmobile. In this one.
Yeah, I didn't either because it looked like a shell sitting on top of something else.
Well, and also, the point of Batman is he hides in the shadows and it's dark. He ain't driving a car with fluorescent lights on it.
Right.
He ain't, you know... I thought Val...
Spitting steam out of it.
I thought Val Kilmer... he was very believable as Bruce Wayne, very believable as Batman.
And he was, and he made the comment to Alfred when Alfred said, I forget what Alfred said to him about maybe you don't want him to find out about this, sir. And he said, you're the one that let Vicky Vale in here.
Yeah.
So I thought that was cool that he kind of called back to that.
What did you think about, even with the changing Batman in the four movies, keeping the same Commissioner Gordon and the same Alfred.
Alfred was not a significant player in these movies. He has become, especially in Gotham, and like he was the father figure that he was in the Nolan. So I didn't care. And the same with Commissioner Gordon. I mean, I thought Commissioner Gordon was a throwback to... You know, the old.
I thought he was more like Chief O'Hara.
Yeah, exactly. Than Commissioner That's Gordon. Exactly right, man. He was. He was not this heroic, you know, like the Gary Oldman version.
Oh, yeah. You know. Let me see. We haven't talked a lot about Alfred. Let me say something about him. Looking back, it's not believable. It's not believable that this guy is Batman's right-hand man.
Right.
Because I don't even know if he can make it up and down the steps to the Batcave.
Yeah. This way, sir. That's kind of all he's good for. Perhaps you'd like to go this way? I don't know how many times he said that in those movies. You know what I mean? But that was his big line.
And I always had
perhaps, I think maybe this way would be better, sir.
The other car. Yeah.
Perhaps you'd like to take the other car, sir. He delivered every line. Every single line he delivered was that line. You know what I mean? I think the other suit might be better, sir.
Now, what did you think? I think it was in this one. Was it in this one where they had special suits that had the sonar and everything?
It was either this one or the next one. I don't remember.
And they had the bat boat and a lot of bad one-liners in this one.
Oh, no. The bad one-liners were in the next one.
Well, so I'm trying to look at my notes here. or let me ask this. You got Val Kilmer to play Batman.
Uh-huh. Shouldn't he at some point have said, I'm your Huckleberry?
Who doesn't sign that guy to a multi-picture deal?
I don't know.
Who signs a man to play Batman for one movie?
Joe Schumacher.
Was it Joe? I don't know who to blame. We might as well blame him. We blame everything else on him.
Being the director of a motion picture is kind of like being the president of the United States. You're going to get way too much blame and way too much credit.
All right, let's move on. I don't want to spend a lot of time on Batman and Robin.
Why not?
Because we're already an hour. This is going to be the longest show we've ever done. This is going to be the longest show ever, and I don't care.
Well, if we got to split it up.
No, we are not. We don't split it up. We go Broadway. All right. Batman and Robin. Where to begin?
Oh, man.
I'll tell you where I'll begin is at the beginning. Yeah.
When Batman crashes through the ceiling, lands on the T-Rex back, and slides down it and off of its tail like Fred Flintstone did in the beginning of the Flintstones. He might as well have come off of the end of the tail of that dinosaur and went yabba dabba doo. That's exactly. I remember because I texted you as I was watching it. I was sending you text messages. Do you remember this? Yeah, this was I don't know, a month ago maybe. I'm watching the movie just because I'm like, well, I got to watch all four. I got to watch this one too. I can't watch the other ones and not watch it. Right. I got to watch it and see if it was as bad as I remember. And it was worse.
It was worse.
And I think I remember texting, he just slid down a dinosaur's back like Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, and they drive their cars. There are apparently statues and architecture big enough in Gotham City that you could have a high-speed chase on them. Yeah. That you could drive up the arm and fly off the middle finger.
Yeah. That was, and not just one car. There were like, I mean, there were a lot of cars.
Because all the freeze mobiles were behind them.
Robin on his little motorcycle. Yeah, this was a bad. And then he flips. remember that time? Okay, let me just say this. Poison Ivy, best part of that movie. When she dances in.
Oh, that's all you got
to
say.
She starts doing that little dance and she.
Never been so excited to see somebody get out of a gorilla suit.
Boy, you ain't lying. She cuts across that room. Well, anyway, all the bidding starts for her.
Yeah.
And then Batman pulls out the MasterCard or whatever with the Batman symbol on it. Yeah. That was, yeah.
You don't even know the man's identity. How are you going to do a credit check on it?
Right. How are you going to defend on that? You just can't. It's just the stupidest thing, man. Stupid.
I thought Uma Thurman, her portrayal of Poison Ivy was fine.
Oh, she should have got an Academy Award for the way that they portrayed her,
I thought was fine. I thought it was very true.
She was the best thing about that movie.
The only thing true to the heart of Batman in the whole movie. First of all, Victor Freeze is a scientist.
Right.
Now, if you read the novel, the book adaptation of the movie, which is just as bad. In the adaptation, Victor Freeze is an Olympic athlete. And I guess that's how they explained that Arnold Schwarzenegger was Victor Freeze. Victor Freeze is supposed to be a scientist. You're telling me that Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mr. Get to the chopper,
get to the chopper,
that guy has developed a cure for a disease?
And he can't come up with any better ice puns than the ones he uses. And I wish I could remember some of his lines. I just can't. They were awful, though.
They were terrible. I don't think he had a coherent thought.
Chill out. You know, it was just always
I don't think he had a coherent thought in the whole movie.
No.
Except for it was just one-liners.
By the way, speaking of Victor Freeze, I love in the New 52 the twist on his origin where, spoiler alert, that's not his wife.
Ah.
It's just this woman that he has become fascinated and obsessed with, and he has created the story in his mind that they were meant to be together. When in actuality, she's been frozen for 50 or 60 years, and he's just been working there.
Oh, wow. And gotcha.
He's developed this attachment to her, and he believes that they belong together, and if he can just figure out how to thaw her out, she'll fall in love with him.
Oh, my.
Which is a great twist on the story.
Oh, my. I thought George Clooney was very believable as Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
But the guy acted like he didn't want to be there.
Yeah, he was clear. I think I heard him do a quote one time where he said, "I did what the Penguin and the Joker and the Catwoman could never do. I killed Batman."
Yeah. 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 Let me throw out Elle McPherson to you.
Swing.
Yeah. There's a love interest in it.
There's always that. Yeah.
And that's fine.
That's actually, though, it goes back to what you discussed about not liking about Nicole Kidman. That was a good thing, maybe, because she wasn't driving any of it. She was just arm candy.
Yeah, yeah.
For Bruce Wayne.
And she knew something was going on.
Right. Because she's close and she's around and she sees it. But she didn't have anything to do with anything.
Right, right. And he didn't tell her who he was.
Right, he didn't tell her who he was. And that's who that's what the love interest should be. I like that about that movie.
That she's in the dark.
Right.
About things.
Yeah, he's not like, I think I like her. I better let her know I'm Batman.
Batgirl.
You know, here's the thing about Alicia Silverstone, man. She got really hot really fast in those Aerosmith videos.
Yes.
That came out. And everybody was like, man, who is this girl? She's so cute. She's so pretty. And then they started putting her in movies. And we haven't seen her since. And I've heard that she put some weight on.
She got stung by a bee.
During the filming of that movie. And that the suit had been made.
Ooh.
And that it didn't fit her anymore.
Oh.
This is what I've heard. So that's why you didn't see a whole lot of Batgirl in that movie. Originally, she was going to be in it a lot more, but she did. I mean, she was a young girl going through, that's life. And she put on a little weight and the suit wouldn't fit anymore and they weren't going to make another one.
I didn't like that she was Alfred's niece.
Yeah, me either.
Because Alfred is portrayed as about 70 years old.
Right.
Maybe 90. Maybe and that he's 90. Gonna have a niece that's Robin's age.
Right.
That's just
it was not realistic.
And golly. I think it's safe to say that if anybody that was in any of these original four Batman movies, Alicia Silverstone was by far the worst actress.
Really? Out of everybody?
Out of
everybody. You mean everybody who played a main character?
Out of everybody. The father in the original Batman who's they're lost in the city and his son's like, it's this way. I know where I am. That guy's a better actor. Does a better job in his part.
I got you. Than she does in hers.
That's what I'll stand by.
All right.
I'll testify that in a court of law.
All right. So now that we've come to the end of discussing this particular universe of Batman, four movies.
I got one more person I want to throw out to you.
All right. Let's go ahead.
How do you feel about them jobbing Bane out in this movie?
Yeah, I thought it was a waste of a good character.
Yeah. You have just introduced, and we're sitting here, and we've got the Nightfall graphic novel here, the companion. Bane was one of the freshest and best villains in a long time in the Batman universe.
Oh, no doubt. And he wasn't silly.
No.
You know what I mean? It wasn't
very serious.
Yeah, it wasn't this silly character.
And in the movie, he's portrayed as silly. He's a throwaway character. He's just a henchman.
Jeep Swenson.
Yeah.
Played him.
God rest his soul.
The old school pro wrestler with those big old jacked up arms.
And you know there's another old school pro wrestler in this movie. Jesse Ventura plays a prison guard.
That's right. He does, doesn't he? He does.
Anyway, Joel Schumacher kills the franchise in such a way there's a guy actually created a website. It's called Batman on Film. If you're a fan of Batman, this is a must website you have to check out. Huh. And this guy, if you know anything about it, let me put this guy over. He had a huge hand in getting the word out and building the buzz to, hey, you can't let it end with Batman and Robin. And right. Pretty much as soon as that movie was out, he was creating the website. He was getting fans together and convincing Warner Brothers that, come on now, you got to give it another shot. They went with this up-and-coming director named Christopher Nolan. A lot of people at the time hadn't heard of him.
Wait a minute. I wanted to ask you something about the other ones.
Go ahead.
You don't remember that?
No, I thought you were segueing.
No. I was.
You said before.
I was not segueing.
Oh, well, you go.
I was going to ask you a question about the previous four movies.
All right. Ask me the question.
What's your favorite of those four? It's kind of like saying, which one of those turds smells the best?
I'm going to say Batman Forever.
Really?
It's probably my favorite.
Yeah. I think that may be what I go with, too.
Because Batman Forever, you could pop in any time, and I can overlook the purple scar on Two-Face, and I can overlook a lot. It's entertaining, and it's true to Batman. He's not pulling out a gun on people.
Right.
He's struggling internally.
Yeah.
He's got this battle going on of, can I do this, or do I want a normal life, and da-da-da-da-da. And that's the whole point of the movie. He's Batman. He is making this choice. He has that come-to-Jesus moment. He says, I am Batman forever, and I dug that.
Yeah.
I dug that. That they showed that this is a choice that he's making. That, yes, is he crazy a little bit? Yes. But in his right mind, he's choosing, I will fight crime. I will defend Gotham.
I like that. That's my favorite of the four, too. That's all I wanted to know. Go ahead.
And you would say, why would Batman Forever be your favorite?
For what you just said. I liked the fact that it was... They were all campy.
Yeah.
Like, all four of them were campy.
Yeah, so I can't in some ways. Right.
Put a knock against anything for Ben. It was a little too campy for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like Batman. I like Val Kilmer. That's why I liked it, because I liked Val Kilmer as Batman. I thought they finally found a good Batman. The plot was decent. I mean, it was what it was. Comic book movie plots don't have to be ridiculously intricate.
Yeah.
And I dug it for a lot of the same reasons that you said, where he's made the choice now. It's, I got to go one way or the other. And he decides I've got to go this way because Gotham needs me.
Yeah. 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 I agree.
Okay. Anyway, go on, Christopher Nolan.
So they, when did Batman Begins come out? I'm trying to think.
Guys, 2000s, mid-2000s, maybe?
Because we're 2000.
I mean, I can pull it up and find out right quick if you want to talk for a minute.
Anyway, they announced the movie's coming out. Christopher Nolan, who at that time had made Memento, he had made, I can't remember some of the other stuff he'd made, and Christian Bale is going to be Batman, who's a little bit of an unknown. But
I don't know if he's an unknown.
Now, just as we walked into Batman 89, not knowing anything.
2005.
So it was 8 years between Batman and Robin. 7 or 8 years. I went into Batman Begins. I had read the script. The script had leaked. There were no spoilers for me.
Right.
And I read the script, and I was, in my heart and mind, this is the Batman I've always wanted.
Right.
They were relying heavily on elements of the comic books that had redefined Batman, Batman Year One. They were bringing in one of the iconic characters in Ra's al Ghul. How do they pull that off?
Right. More of a real world grounded kind of character, even though there's a lot of supernatural stuff to him, it's easy to pull him off.
Yes. Yes.
Without talking about the supernatural stuff.
And they put together an all-star cast.
Yeah, I loved Katie Holmes. I hate that, like, Tom Cruise's crazy kept her out of the rest of those movies. Because Maggie Gyllenhaal was just awful.
Right.
And Katie Holmes was great.
I thought Katie Holmes was, and again, they've created a character that doesn't exist in the universe. But they did it in a logical way.
It made sense.
Made total sense. And Katie Holmes had this innocence about her that in the darkness and dirtiness of Gotham City, she was this pure, white,
sweet polypurebred.
Yeah. And she was almost the light at the end of the tunnel for Bruce Wayne. I don't even know where to start. Of all the Batman, this is just a great movie. I have no complaints.
When the Scarecrow shoots himself with the fear serum and he sees Batman, that was incredible when his face.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Yeah. Now, a lot of people didn't like the growling.
Right.
If you go back and read Batman Year One, there is a scene when he makes his first appearance as Batman. He's coming down on some criminals who are on a fire escape. And he's kind of having this conversation in his mind. And it says, I let out a growl from something in Africa, you know. And to me, that's Batman. Batman doesn't talk in a regular voice.
Right, and I liked it in Batman Begins.
Right.
Because it was subtle.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
We've got to stop. You know what I mean? It was just like he lowered his voice just an octave. We've got to stop what they're doing.
Yeah.
It was that kind of thing. And I don't want to get – I'm just going to go ahead and jump ahead to the point where you get to the Dark Knight Rises. And it has progressed to, where's the trigger? Where's the trigger? Where's the trigger?
Well, the guy's been through a lot.
And it was too much. You know what I mean? He was over it. It was too much by that point. And then there's the part in that one where the Catwoman is talking to him on the roof, and she leaves, and there's nobody there but him.
Yeah.
There's nobody else around. And he goes, so that's what that feels like. You don't have to do that voice because there's nobody around.
Well, he didn't know that. He said, you know, hey, so let's go back. Batman, I loved how they used, I loved the plot.
Right.
I thought it was logical. I loved how they had Arkham being in the Narrows. I love that part.
Uh-huh.
I love Ra's al Ghul, his role in it. I love that it's open-ended at the end. Is he alive? Is he dead?
Right. I love I won't kill you, but I don't have to save you.
Right.
I thought that was a great line.
I thought Gary Oldman played Commissioner Gordon. Yeah. He is Commissioner Gordon.
He is, man. He is.
He
looks like he looked in the comics, you know, from the ones that they were using to reference. He had the look.
Yeah.
He's just. And then his performance in The Dark Knight.
Yeah. Well, let's stay.
We'll get to that. I know.
What else can we say to put this? I thought Christian Bale was believable as Bruce Wayne and Batman.
Yeah.
I thought
great as Bruce Wayne.
The way they told his origin was really good. And the way he makes that choice with Ra's al Ghul of, no, I'm not killing.
Right. Yeah, that's the one.
I'd rather burn down this whole mountain.
Right.
Than you know, kill this guy.
Right. It's just and I love the fact that it was grounded in reality.
Yes.
This could happen.
Yeah.
Outlandish, but I mean, it could theoretically happen.
Michael Caine is not just bringing sandwiches. He is.
Right.
He's helping order cows.
Right.
He's helping order materials.
Mm-hmm.
I love how they use Lucius Fox in this.
I do too, because it explained away that one plot hole that I never understood about Batman. Where is he getting airplanes that are shaped like bat symbols?
Yeah.
And people aren't going, yeah, I think this might be for Batman, guys. You know what I mean? Let's see what the return address is on that. We can make a lot of money. So I liked that. I don't know if he was a character that was already in the canon of the comics, is the guy that he got his stuff from, or what?
Lucius Fox in the comic is one of the executives at Wayne Enterprises.
Right.
And so he was always there in the – I don't think he knew as much in the comic as he did in the movie.
Right.
But he pretty much, you know, Bruce Wayne's not there a lot in the office. And
right.
Lucius Fox was kind of running the show in the comic. So I loved that. I loved that. And Morgan Freeman was
– Yeah, he was great.
Just man. Great. It's like – Does it come in black?
Does it come in black?
Just really, really good stuff. I think I saw that movie, The Midnight Show, and then I saw it again on Friday. It was everything you had ever wanted in a Batman movie.
It was, until the next one came out.
Let's move. Are you ready to move on?
Yeah,
to the Dark Knight?
I am. Yeah, because this is. And I've said to you, we were talking the other day, not just my favorite Batman movie, not just my favorite superhero movie. This is my top five favorite movies of all time.
Is The Dark Knight, is it the perfect movie?
It may be. I don't know if every little detail is perfect. But then again, I don't know that it ain't.
Right.
It is a modern day classic.
Yeah.
If this movie 50 years from now is a movie that people, if they still care about movies the way we care about them today, will be looking back on, and this is like the Citizen Kane of comic book movies.
Yeah. The only, I want to talk about, this is not a complaint. This is not a criticism. I'm just asking a question.
Mm-hmm.
The only part. And I'm a Batman mark,
mm-hmm.
Okay? There's only one part in The Dark Knight where I scratch my head. And that's when they're in the penthouse having the party, the Joker crashes it, and Rachel slides down the building.
Right.
And Batman goes down and saves her, and they just land on a car.
Right. I agree with you on that. The Walking Dead, I'm a huge fan of,
mm-hmm.
And my wife and I had this discussion the other day. If your movie is completely unrealistic,
yeah,
like Fast and Furious 6,
oh.
I can believe that runway at the end of that movie was 8 miles long.
Yes.
Okay? Because the movie is ridiculous.
Right. It's entertaining.
It's entertaining, and it's over the top, and there's no way that two people going to fly across two different bridges, and you're going to catch somebody and land on the hood of a car. You can be as unrealistic as you want to.
Right.
But if you have a movie that's based in reality, and mm-hmm. you have one scene that is completely ridiculous, like on The Walking Dead when they got in this van to escape the zombies and dropped about 25 feet onto it was already leaning, so they put their weight at the front, and the van falls off of this bridge like 25 or 30 feet
mm-hmm.
over the overpass, and then it lands on all four tires and just bounces, and they go, hey, we made it. You can have this one moment that takes me out of everything.
Right.
And
right.
For a minute in that movie, you're right, that took me out of it.
Other than that, I don't really know where to start. An amazing movie, even in the beginning, that the Scarecrow has escaped.
Yeah.
And he's back and doing some things, and there are copycat Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And that first meeting where the Joker shows up, and he just, he's not messing around.
No.
Let me make this pencil disappear.
Yeah. Bam.
Oh.
And the scene, guys, there's so much you can talk about when he's got the stack of money.
Yeah.
And he tells the guy, dynamite and gasoline are cheap. I don't care.
He's like, it's not about the money. It's about sending a message.
Right. It's just, I remember hearing Heath Ledger was going to be the Joker, and I went, God, that's gonna suck.
Yeah.
And then.
We were wrong.
I was wrong and never been happier to be wrong.
When they show that first picture, that close up of his face, I experienced an emotion that I don't have a word for.
Yeah. People can say what they want to say.
Mm-hmm.
The very first time you watch that movie. Now, it's like everything else, Forrest Gump, Pulp Fiction, a lot of these iconic movies, Scarface, they get parodied so much that they lose some of the bite that they had upon your initial viewing of them because of all the parody that goes on of them. But the first time, tell me you weren't sitting in the theater thinking, this Joker is terrifying.
Yeah.
Because he was. There was anxiety when he was on the screen because you didn't know what he was going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That
when he tells Harvey Dent, he takes the gun and puts it to his own forehead and says, now we're talking.
Yeah.
That dude was an anarchist.
Yeah.
He believed.
Blew up a hospital.
Yes. Oh, man. When Batman's hitting him in the interrogation room, and he says, with all your strength, you don't have anything to threaten me with. Yeah. You can beat on me all day long. I don't care.
Why do you start with the head?
It leaves the victim all fuzzy, and he can't feel the next shot. And then he hits him in the hand, and he just looks at him and goes, see?
And then Batman goes out, and he's like, I would like my phone call. And he makes the phone call. My stomach. Everything that happens with the Joker, all of it, in that universe, logical.
Yeah.
There was nothing.
There's one thing that's a bit illogical.
Okay.
That we'll get to as we get ready to move on.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't want to talk about it now.
I think I know what you're going
to
say.
I mentioned this to you the other day.
The love interest, the continued love interest between Bruce and Rachel Dawes, and now she's moving on to Knight in Shining Armor, Harvey Dent, played absolutely perfectly by Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah.
I mean, just the guy nailed that character.
Everybody in that movie nailed their part.
Yeah.
Everybody. There's the little scene when the guy goes to Lucius Fox and says, I think that Bruce Wayne is Batman, and I'm going to need $1 million a year for the rest of my life. And Lucius Fox says, so let me get this straight. You think your boss, one of the richest and most powerful men in the world, is a vigilante who dresses up like a bat and beats criminals to a pulp at night, and your plan is to blackmail this man? Good luck with that. you know, and everybody was perfect in the part that they played in that movie.
The effects they did when he goes to, is it Hong Kong?
Yeah. With the skyline.
Oh, yeah. That, oh my goodness.
I watch this movie at least once a year.
Yeah.
I just.
The whole ruse that he's, I got to go out of town. Well. And he buys out the ballet and takes him on a cruise.
Everything is logical with that. It's like, why would people at some point
connects the dots?
People
think
Bruce Wayne. Every time Bruce Wayne disappears, Batman shows up.
Yeah,
so he does little stupid stuff like that, little things just to throw people off.
Yeah. I had no problem. They changed the origin of Two-Face.
Right.
Had no problem with that.
Nah. I never, and we've had this discussion before, I don't mind them tweaking origins and stuff like that for movies, because I get it. You got to make it fit into the story that you're telling.
And because the gist of his story is he is scarred by a criminal he's trying to bust.
Right.
Well, guess what? In this movie, he's scarred by a criminal.
Right.
And the way they portrayed that when he goes into the bar and he drinks the shot glass and it comes out his neck.
And the scene when he gets it with Eric Roberts. He flips the coin, and he doesn't kill Eric Roberts, and he flips it again. And he said, what's that for? And he said, your driver didn't make it. And there's another great scene with Eric Roberts. Now Batman's pissed off.
Right.
And he's in the bar. You remember that he's, like, in that nightclub? Yeah. And this was old school Batman. Yeah. There's a strobe light going off, and he can just tell. Oh, crap. Here comes Batman. Because he's just, like, making his way across this walkway as people go flying over the edge. And he takes Eric Roberts, takes him up on the second floor, and he said, you're not going to kill me from dropping me up here. And he drops him. That's not the point. Like, breaks both his legs. I don't want to kill you.
That was so good, man. And they had talked about the coin.
There was a double-sided coin that which explained him getting it, and it got burned on one side. I mean, everything. Go ahead.
No, what were you going to say?
Because I was going to talk about something at the end, but I don't want to move on yet.
I don't either. The plot, the twist, where do you think Gordon's dead?
Yeah.
And he pops. I'm telling you.
We got you, you son of a bitch.
I mean, everybody in that theater, when Gordon takes off the deal, the crowd popped.
Yes.
In the movie theater. Yeah. Because nobody,
we believed it.
I'm a spoiler guy. I typically read spoilers.
Right.
Somehow that had eluded me.
Right.
And I'm watching, I'm thinking, man, how in the crap? They've killed Gordon.
How do you kill Commissioner Gordon?
And then when he shows back up, it's just like, oh, my goodness. Yeah. And then he goes home to his family, and you're like, you guys haven't moved out of this neighborhood yet? What's the matter with
you? But you know, even that scene, the subtlety of his wife slapping him across the face instead of being happy, is probably what would happen. How dare you put me through that?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I could very much see my wife ringing my bell if I put it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Speaking of your wife, we heard from our legal department, and we want to make sure we dot our I's and cross our T's, and we want to give full credit to Crystal Whitman for our Saturday Night Live episode. It was her idea to edit using the woo. She mentioned that months ago that, hey, when Mark says something you don't like, you should, instead of bleeping it, you should do a woo. I want you to know that at the hour and 27-minute mark of this show, Crystal, we have fulfilled our legal obligations.
And given you credit.
And thank you so much.
Because it was a great idea.
That was a great idea. And
now I kind of feel like I can say things that I normally wouldn't have said before now that you know how to do that.
Please don't.
Like if I want to say.
The end with the boats, and they both got the device, and Joker's like, here we go.
Yeah. How'd he do it again?
Here we go.
Then it didn't go off.
It didn't go off.
Yeah.
And Batman explains why, you know, that, you know, there's good in the world. Yeah. In it.
Maybe people are better than you think they are. Not everybody's like you. It's hard to pee in this suit. Can we hurry along? My butthole itches.
To put this all in perspective, Heath Ledger did something that no one has ever done before. I don't know if they'll ever do it again. That in a comic book movie, he portrayed an iconic character of 70 years.
Mm-hmm. 75 now, right?
Yeah. Portrayed him in a way that transcended the icon.
Yeah, yeah.
An icon of his portrayal of that character.
And I think he would have still won that Academy Award, even had he not passed away.
It would have been criminal if he had not won the Academy Award.
Yeah.
a well-deserved and now there were talks and rumors because they don't kill the Joker
right
at the end of this movie. The movie ends as it as far as the Joker concerned, the movie ends as it should.
Yeah.
He's captured.
Right.
What you going to do with him?
He's going to bust out in the next one.
And there were
That was the plan, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I remember reading that somewhere that he would have been a major part of the next movie as well. You know, that's why they teased him in the first one, introduced him in the second one, and in the next one he would have been a huge part of that movie.
So we get to the end of The Dark Knight. And Harvey Dent has fallen to his death. Or so you're led to believe. You're led to believe he's dead. The scene where Batman saves Gordon's son, straight out of Batman Year One.
Right.
Thank you, Christopher Nolan, for sticking with what we love. But they do a twist here. That they don't want Harvey Dent. They want to protect the image of Harvey Dent.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you wanted to touch on this.
So when Batman said, no, I could have done those things, you can blame it on me. I think with everything the Joker had done, you probably could have blamed those couple of murders on him.
Yeah.
And everybody would have bought it, and he would have taken the credit for them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Why, with the anarchy that was going on, did Batman? Maybe it was because the only reason that I can justify them not blaming him on the Joker is their sense of right and wrong was we're not going to blame a guy that didn't commit a crime. We're not going to blame something on him that he didn't do.
Right.
I'll take the blame for it.
Yeah.
That way his conviction will be pure.
Yeah.
And it won't be tainted, you know, by this. And so that's the only thing I can figure that they didn't do it. But I will say that scene when he's running and stumbling and the dogs are behind him and then he's on the motorcycle and he's riding away and Gary Oldman gives that speech about, you know, he's a silent guardian, the watchful protector. He runs because we have to chase him, you know. That whole the hero that we deserve, but not the one we need right now.
Yeah.
He is the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Tears.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I can watch that every single day and never get tired of that 2 minutes worth of movie.
All right. When that movie ended, you knew there had to be another one coming.
Oh, yeah.
Did you think that are you ready? I think we're ready.
Yeah, I think we're ready to move on.
Did you think
we've just about talked about every cool thing that happened in it. So we can
Did you think when you saw him ride off into the night in the Dark Knight that the next movie would be 8 years in the future?
No,
where Bruce Wayne has not just ridden off, but it appears that on that night stops being Batman.
Right.
I never would have thought that.
Yeah, I wouldn't have either. I'll be honest with you. I really don't think that was the plan. I think that plans changed when Heath Ledger died.
Yes, I agree.
They had to come up with a story. That's what I think.
Let's talk about The Dark Knight Rises. I saw this movie. They had a deal. You pay $20. You got to see Batman Begins, then The Dark Knight, and then you saw Dark Knight Rises, and it started at 11:59. It was a long day. But awesome. Awesome experience. The Dark Knight Rises is still a movie for me that I am trying to process. Batman Begins, any day, anytime somebody says, hey, you want to watch Batman Begins? Oh, yeah, we can do that. If they did that with The Dark Knight, I'd be like, that one, it's a great movie. Love it. But there's something about it. You can't watch that movie every day, in my opinion.
Right, right. It's a once-a-year kind of movie.
Dark Knight Rises. I saw it less times at the theater than any of the other movies.
Mm-hmm. For me, there was a discomfort level seeing it, because I didn't see it at midnight, but I saw it on opening day or whatever, and that shooting had happened.
In Colorado. Yeah.
And I wasn't like sitting in a theater afraid somebody's going to come in and start shooting, because I don't worry about that kind of stuff that often. Could it happen? Yeah. But I could get killed in a car wreck on the way home from here, too.
Right.
So I don't sit around and worry. That's not what it was. It was just, it was a bad thing, man.
Yeah.
And anytime, you know, that whole disturbance in the force from Star Wars, I really believe that. I think that it just creates this bad vibe.
Absolutely.
When stuff like that happens. So I saw it that day, and that was on my mind. Plus, coming off of The Dark Knight being as great as it was, I wish there's a movie called Rock of Ages, which is a musical with like uses 80s hair metal and stuff like that. And Russell Brand is introducing this band that nobody's ever seen before. And in his introduction, he says, "What I'm going to need for you to do right now is manage your expectations." I wish that Russell Brand had come out at the beginning of that movie and said, "I'm going to need you to manage your expectations, because this is not going to be as good as The Dark Knight."
Right.
So I watched it, and I walked away from it going, it was good, but I just didn't like it as much as I thought I was going to like it until I watched it a week or two ago. I was at Walmart. I knew we were going to do the show. Mm-hmm. Hadn't seen it since then. Had it on Blu-ray. Cheap, so I picked it up.
Yeah.
And I went home, I popped it in, and it deserves a second look. Because with a year or two ago, and not having all the weight of the Colorado shootings, and not understanding it's not going to be as good as The Dark Knight, and just watching it, for what it was as a standalone movie, I thought it was a lot better than I remembered it being.
Yeah, part of the problem was in the first two Christopher Nolan movies, he's created this world. Uh-huh. He's created this universe. He's created rules that we're going to do things that are realistic. We're going to explain things to you about how does Batman get his stuff, and why does he use this stuff, and how does he use this stuff. And my biggest problem, and I'll say this from the start, my biggest problem with this movie is I don't know who the star of this movie is. There's an ensemble cast, great, and they all do a great job. I have absolutely no issue with the acting in this movie. But the star of this movie is not Batman. If you go back, this is a two hours long. 2 hour and 45 minute movie. How much is Batman in the movie?
True.
Batman doesn't even come back.
But Bruce Wayne's in it.
Yes. And at the end of the day, I think it's safe to say that Christopher Nolan made a Bruce Wayne trilogy.
Yeah.
And at the end of Dark Knight Rises,
because honestly, that's who it's about. Is it's about Bruce Wayne.
Yes. And if you take the three movies in their totality, that here you begin with Bruce Wayne, who is a young man who is lost, and he's going to kill Joe Chill. To the end of all that time, does Batman make it out alive?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Can I just raise some of my issues with this?
Yeah, go ahead. You raise them, and I will do my best to counter them.
The opening scene of this movie is phenomenal. With Bane. I can't say enough. Now, they had to go. I love the voice. I love how he did Bane. I loved it. I loved how they tied Bane in with Talia.
Right.
Loved how Talia was portraying to be somebody else. Love it. You've explained to me how this device can be manipulated to be a nuclear bomb.
Right.
Painstakingly, you've explained to me scientifically how this can be a nuclear bomb. So under the threat of that nuclear bomb, they've blown up the bridges. The city is under siege. You've blown up your bridges. That means whatever bananas you had in the city when the bridges were blown up, that's all the bananas you've got.
Right.
You're not getting any more bananas. They ain't growing bananas in the city. All the milk you had. You got policemen trapped underground for months.
Right. What are they eating?
Is Dollar Shave Club making deliveries down there?
Yeah, because none of them had beards.
None of them had beards.
Sometimes you have to, you know.
You got people at the Scarecrow loved his part in this movie. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What are they doing there? Where are people sleeping?
Yeah. I just, as I said to you, if this is a DC universe.
Yeah.
If I'm the authorities, I'm probably saying, somebody call Superman. Because this might be a little bit more than Batman can handle.
Right.
Because Superman would have just flown in there, beat everybody up, took the bomb, flew up into space, blew it up, and that'd have been, the story would have been 10 minutes long.
Right, right, right.
You know, and
right.
Then they'd have said, he'd have said, where's Bruce at? And they'd have told him where Bruce was, and he'd have flown over there, and he'd have picked him up out of that thing, and took him back home, and he'd have been like, all right, Bruce, and he'd have set him down and pat him on the head and said, you call me if you need anything else. And then he would have left.
And Bruce would have said, Clark, you're such a Boy Scout.
Yeah.
So let's stick with the nuclear bomb for a minute. At the end, he's got the Batwing. He's taking the nuclear bomb out over the ocean. You've painstakingly, again, told me how dangerous this weapon is. It's held a city hostage for months. But it doesn't kill Batman.
Mm-hmm. Well, he had the autopilot. He didn't go out over the ocean with it.
When it shows him in the cockpit with seconds left.
Mm-hmm. No, I told you, I feel like the movie would have been better if Batman had died. If they had not had that little wink and nod at the end between him and Alfred, I think it would have been a better movie. And it would have told a complete final story of the life of Bruce Wayne. And it's when Gotham needed him most, he sacrificed himself for Gotham.
And now, okay, let's stop right there. So Bruce Wayne doesn't die. His city is destroyed. He's off at a cafe
sipping coffee with Anne Hathaway.
I mean, you're not going to help rebuild the city. I mean, in the Cataclysm storyline, he is very integral in the rebuilding of
Well, didn't
Gotham.
He leave everything to John Blake?
Robin?
To Nightwing?
Oh, they're going to do a sequel. He's going to be Batman. Oh, shut up. You internet marks.
He's Nightwing. Right? That was what I always thought he would be, was Nightwing if they did a sequel. I agree, Heath. I'm not disagreeing with. That's why I said the movie would have been better if Batman died. Because he's not there. Because you're right. It's kind of a peckerhead move to be sitting over there drinking coffee when your city has been destroyed and needs to be rebuilt. And, you know, crimes ain't going away.
Right.
That's
right.
What I agree. That's why I think it would have been a better movie if Batman had died. It would have been the ultimate sacrifice for Gotham. For him to give his life for.
Can't kill Batman.
Yes, you can.
No.
Well, I mean, you have
listen,
to.
Listen.
If you're in a standalone, you yourself, we've talked about the multiverse in DC Universe where all these different parallel universes, certainly Batman's died in one or two of them.
On Earth 2, back in the 80s, he did. He died in a fire in a building.
So why can't you kill Batman in one specific trilogy of films? Or even if you don't kill him, you don't have to tell us he's sitting over there drinking coffee while Gotham's in ruin.
That's true.
That's true. What I mean?
No. I agree. You're right. I thought, you know, I loved the scene where he gets broken.
Yeah.
And I love that.
When Gotham is in ruin, then you have my permission to die.
I love that Bane doesn't just break him, but he sends him to that prison.
Yeah. I've told you, it's a lot like Court of Owls and a lot of other Batman stories where he's in a labyrinth of some type and he's got it breaks him. And he's at that point when he's about to break and he's about to give up and he's about to say, I don't want to be Batman anymore. It ain't worth it. And then he reaches down and he finds that little bit of extra thing that he's got that makes him be able to, as a mortal,
yeah,
with no powers, stand alongside Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, Flash, Superman, Martian Manhunter, Aquaman, whoever you want to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just a guy with a belt with some weapons on it.
Yeah.
And some tools on it.
Yeah.
But he can stand side by side with gods.
Yeah. And make them shake in their boots.
And make them. He has beaten Superman in a fist fight.
Yeah. Multiple times.
Right. So he finds that thing.
Yeah.
That makes him Batman. And he overcomes.
You know, I'm going to tell you something, Mark. You just sold me on it. Because I had a long speech about how he's in the prison and they got a TV. I don't even know if that prison's got power. But he's got a TV in there. And he's got this guy. I don't know who this guy in the cell next to him is.
Right.
And that guy's walking him through all the, where he's getting his back fixed and everything. So that's my thing, is Bane's put him in the prison, but he's put him next to the only guy in the prison that can help him get fixed.
Right.
I thought, now I think you're right. I think that whole deal of, and him getting out of the pit.
When he says, the guy tells him, if you're going to get out of the pit, you've got to get out of the pit the same way the one person whoever got out of here, you got to use the fear of making that leap,
yeah,
to motivate you. Because as long as you got that rope tied around your waist, you ain't afraid,
yeah,
of falling.
Yeah.
You have to be afraid of not being able to make that jump.
Yeah.
In order to make that jump. And the only way you're really going to be afraid is to make it without that rope tied around you.
Yeah.
And he does it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Batman. Yeah. Now, I get it. He don't have the suit on.
Right.
Okay.
No, that's
just
Batman.
Because he doesn't have the suit on doesn't mean he's not Batman at that moment.
People think the cowl is not the mask he wears.
No.
When he masquerades around as Bruce Wayne, that's the mask.
Right. Right. One of the greatest speeches ever is about Superman from Kill Bill Volume 2 when he talks about Spider-Man's got to put a mask on to be Spider-Man. Bruce Wayne's got to put a mask on to be Batman. Clark Kent's, or Superman's disguise, Kal-El's disguise, is Clark Kent.
Yeah.
He wears, as Superman, the blanket that he came to Earth in.
Yeah.
And Clark Kent is his commentary.
Yeah.
On the human race.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's
we are
so
clumsy
true.
And uncoordinated and not sure of ourselves.
Right.
Everything Superman is not.
Right. Right. That's so good. That's so good.
I know it is so good.
So he gets out of the pit, gets out of the prison.
So let me,
how'd he get home? They call Alfred.
I want to know though, you said that I changed, cause you had a speech about the prison and then I changed your mind and now you agree with me what I'd said.
Because I think that scene in the Christopher Nolan trilogy, those scenes in the prison of him having to come back, that's a side of Bruce Wayne, that's a side of Batman we have not seen. Just mm-hmm. as in Batman Forever, Val Kilmer has to make that decision. Am I going to do this? Am I not going to do this?
Right.
Bruce Wayne, it's not about a woman. It's about, I can stay here and I can die in this prison.
Right. Or I can make that jump and maybe I'll die, but I won't die laying here doing nothing.
Yeah. That to me, I think you're absolutely correct. That's the essence of Batman. And even though I may not agree, it might be a leap for me that he's in this prison and there's a TV.
Right. Well, now, Bane wanted there to be a TV there.
Right.
That was one of the plot devices was, I want you to watch what happens in
but
Gotham.
But there's cities under siege.
I understand.
How are they, where are they getting these cameras from? And where who's still doing
this? You're overthinking it, man.
I'm sorry. But Christopher Nolan, I think I went into this movie, he has conditioned me to think a certain way with the first two. And I think the way that he has trained me to think in the first two movies, he's asking me the third one not to think like that anymore.
True. I get that. I do know what you're saying with that. Everything was logical and had a purpose and was real world. And now it's not. Just like we talked about the van dropping during The Walking Dead.
Right.
It's this one moment in an hour-long show that takes me out of it.
Yeah.
So I get that. I understand where you're coming from.
What were your thoughts on Catwoman?
Oh,
yes, I agree.
There you go.
A very good
what we used to call it the jockey light whistle dams.
So I thought that was a good portrayal. Love the part. Do you always get girls in your car? This isn't a car. You know, I thought the bat wing was great.
Yeah, I did too.
That was
a good deal. It looked like a scorpion or something, but
yeah,
it was still cool.
Yeah.
Nothing like was there were no like bat credit cards in the Nolan universe. I mean, no. He didn't have things that were shaped like bats or anything. I mean, he had the little whatevers, but most of the stuff wasn't like, let's put bat symbols all over.
He didn't have bat shark repellent.
Right.
I thought Gordon is an amazing hero in Dark Knight Rises.
One of my favorite parts is at the end because he's fixing to die. He's hauling this thing out, and he says to Gordon, Gordon said, I never cared who you were. I never cared who you were in real life. And Batman says, anybody can be a hero, even if it's doing something simple like putting your coat around the shoulders of a little boy whose parents just got killed and telling him everything's going to be all right.
Yeah.
And then he goes off and Gordon has this moment where he says, it's Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And he told him without telling him, because he knew he could trust Gordon at that point.
He didn't bring, it's not the same as bringing Vicky.
Yeah, he didn't go, hey, and pull his mask back and smile at him.
Yeah,
but he still
great.
Told him who he was without telling him.
I'm going to tell you, Mark, I'm going to go watch this movie again.
I think you should.
I appreciate you doing that for me. You have restored my faith.
Just, like I said, you have to manage your expectations about what it's going to be.
Yeah.
When I watched it, I tried to watch it with an open mind, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
The one thing that I didn't really like was, there were a couple things I didn't like. It's not like Dark Knight on my list of favorites, but when Catwoman saved him from Bane.
Yeah.
At the end, I didn't like that. I'm never a fan of the hero not being the guy who finally vanquishes the foe.
Right.
That's why I hated Iron Man 3 so bad. Tony Stark was never in any danger.
Right.
It was a remote control suit.
Right.
If you take him, if all he's doing is flying a remote control suit around, he's not risking anything.
Right.
Now, he did finally at the end, and then Pepper Potts saved the day. Which is why I didn't like that movie.
Let's leave that out of it. Listen, I'm a DC guy. I love the Marvel movie universe. Let's talk about, real quick, we're pushing 2 hours, which is awesome.
Really?
Awesome. Because this is what we love. This will be a milestone.
How far do we have to go?
We're at 154.
Well, we've got to talk 6 more minutes.
We are.
We've never done 2 hours before.
Because I got 2 more things I want to talk about. A movie we left out, Mask of the Phantasm.
Oh, yeah.
Came out on Christmas Day,
1993. Mm-hmm.
I went and saw it Christmas Day.
Did you?
With a girl who shall remain unnamed.
Why? So when, why is she going to remain that name?
She is. So Mask of the Phantasm, if you're a Batman fan, it such a great movie.
Right.
I thought that cartoon series was so true to the comic book, to the feel of it. And this movie plays off that whole Bruce Wayne, the love interest, can I be Batman, and this new supervillain. Just thought it was awesome, and the Joker twist. Just an awesome movie. Have you seen
it? I have, but I tell you the truth, man, it has been years.
Right.
Since I saw it, I'm going to have to go back and rewatch it.
I've got
it.
That on DVD, but I think I got to find it.
It may be on Amazon Prime. Which you can sign up with.
That's right. You get a free trial.
I know that the Batman animated series is free on Prime.
Oh, Nelly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you can watch all those.
So let's close out this show talking about the Batman movie that is yet to be.
Well, how about you got to watch Batman Beyond the Return of the Joker?
That's good. I never got into that show, but that movie is
Movie's really good. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Did you see the animated movies that they're doing now?
Yes.
The Dark Knight?
They did the Dark Batman Knight Year Returns. One. They did Batman and Son.
I watched Suicide Squad the other day.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
It's Batman.
It's Arkham.
Yeah,
Batman,
it's Arkham.
Arkham.
Yeah, Batman Arkham.
Assault on Arkham.
Right. It's not really a Batman movie. It's a.
I think I have that.
It's good, man. It's pretty good. It's at Redbox.
I'm telling you, DC, just what Marvel's done on the big screen, DC owns that DVD.
Oh, yeah,
market.
Those direct. The Under the Red Hood.
Y'all.
That's a phenomenal.
And straight out of the comic book.
Yeah.
And. I think it's King of Atlantis that's coming out in a month.
Is that the Aquaman?
Yes, that's going to be fun. That's going to be great.
I always liked Aquaman. He always catches Nox, but I always thought he was kind of a cool character. I've always liked the strange and unusual because I myself am strange and unusual. That's a Beetlejuice reference
I tell you I wrote a song when I was a youth pastor called Everybody Needs a Hero? And I won't sing it to you,
please do.
But I actually made a CD with this song. I mean, a bunch of songs on it, so the first verse is
there anything you can't do? Singer, songwriter, podcaster, father.
I don't do anything.
Lover.
Well, now that you've mentioned it, the first verse was Superman used to leap. Tall buildings is single bound. Batman used to pray that his Batmobile would never be found. Aquaman talked to fish. They were his best friends. Green Lantern. Wait, hold on. And Jesus. And then it said something about Jesus. Now I can't remember. It's terrible. Aquaman talked to fish. They were his best friends. So the second verse is Green Lantern wore his power ring. Hawkman used to fly using his own wings. Wonder Woman flew an invisible jet. Jesus walked on water without even getting wet. Aquaman, he talked to fish. And so you're going to get on me about James Storm and Rick Martel. I'm going to throw Aquaman in your face.
I kind of put that out there for you. But he also, in the New 52, they said, what can you do in the first Justice League comic?
Yes.
They said, what are you going to do? You're going to talk to some fish? And all of a sudden, those great whites started leaping up out of the air and grabbing guys out of the air.
Yeah.
And pulling. He was like, oh, okay. Well,
you
can make
great whites. The New 52, Aquaman is not – that's not the Aquaman we grew up with.
No.
He does not – he's more of a Namor.
Yeah. He's the Submariner.
Which is great. So,
who I thought was the Submariner for years, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then I found out, okay, it's the Submariner. After I actually,
it doesn't matter whether you say Submariner or Submariner, it's still stupid.
I don't know, because you have to take him for the time with which he was one of the original.
Well, that's a kind of
he and Human Torch, man. Have you ever read the Alex Ross Marvels?
No,
he painted the whole thing, and it's everything is told from the ground level of, through the years of all these iconic superhero stories.
Yeah.
Marvel.
Yeah.
That's why it's called Marvels. And it's everything is painted from the perspective of a guy on the ground looking up at the battle. It's great, man.
Okay.
It's not like here's Wolverine's internal thought about what's happening. It's, here's the internal thought of a guy who sees the Submariner and the Human Torch for the first time.
Yeah.
Flying. And it's his inner, what is, you know, and the guy who sees the X-Men for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's, that's a really good comic.
That's pretty cool. 2016. I'm so mad that we have to wait that long.
I thought it was 15.
Nice. Superman versus Batman, Dawn of Justice. They were going to do Superman versus Batman a while back.
Before Batman Begins and Superman Returns.
The biggest news about this one was it's a sequel to Superman, but yet it's not just a Superman movie, that it's a Batman movie, and that it's kicking off the Justice League. And DC is trying to play, it's playing catch up to Marvel.
Yeah, they are.
And I don't know that character wise, DC has the individual. I mean, no disrespect to these other fine folks, but once you get past Superman and Batman.
Yeah.
I
really like the Green Lantern character, but that movie was awful.
Oh, goddamn.
But you know, funny that you mentioned that. I went to the comic store the other week.
Yeah.
You remember, I know you've gone to a comic book store.
Yes, I have.
Remember when you were growing up and you would go and it was X-Men and Punisher, Marvel stuff.
Yeah.
X-Men and Punisher and Wolverine. And those were the big titles. Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Fantastic Four. Those were the titles. And it was like Iron Man and Thor and Captain America, they were all B-level characters.
Yeah.
But now, because of the movies, when you go into a comic book store, there's one or two Wolverine comics.
Right.
There might be a Punisher. There's an X-Men. And they're all like... And then there's these walls of Iron Man and Thor and Captain America, and there were like 10 Guardians of the Galaxy comics.
Yeah.
And there's a whole wall of Avengers stuff.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have access to their... They sold the rights to all their A-level.
Yeah.
So now they're the B-levels.
Yeah.
And the stuff that used to be B-level is the ones that they treat with the reverence.
We know they just ended the Fantastic Four comic.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you've read the synopsis of that new Fantastic Four movie.
I haven't.
It's got potential to just be complete and utter garbage. But let's talk about a movie that's not going to be garbage.
Okay.
Dawn of Justice.
Sorry about that.
What were your thoughts? Did your phone blow up as mine did when Ben Affleck was announced?
No.
My phone blew up. I had people being... the resident Batman expert of Oconee County, South Carolina. I had people, news four different people calling me. Right. Heath, we want your opinion.
What do you think about it?
And because I had seen the town, because I've seen Ben Affleck in so many other movies, I'd seen him in Argo.
Uh-huh.
Ben Affleck, above anyone that has ever, Christian Bale included, he is Bruce Wayne.
Hmm.
I can believe him as Bruce Wayne above all else.
Really?
In my opinion.
No, I think he'll knock it out of the park.
I think he's going to knock it out of the park. I think if you take away the J-Lo years.
Right.
And Daredevil.
Yeah, Daredevil sucked. But, I mean, that wasn't all his fault.
No. But I think Dawn of Justice... I mean, I need Russell Brand there. Manage your expectations. And you and I had different feelings about Man of Steel. Mm-hmm. But I think this movie...
I had... My issue with Man of Steel happens in the last 15 minutes of that movie.
Right.
Before that, I thought it was phenomenal.
Right, right.
And then there's the... He probably could have saved Kevin Costner during the tornado because they knew... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He probably could have run over there and got him right quick. That's all I'm going to say.
But anyway, so just, I'm excited.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I think.
I can't wait.
It's something we've never seen before, something we've always wanted to see.
Right.
You and I will be 41. Uh-huh. I'll be 41. You'll be 40 and a half, almost 41, when that movie comes out. Mm-hmm. I will be there opening night. I will be there with my son.
Right.
I'm very much looking.
I don't know that I'll be there opening night, but I'll see it within the first few days.
Yeah.
Everything with me revolves around my work schedule.
Yeah. And your schedule probably you can't look that far ahead.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I tell you what would be awesome if we do go and see that opening night and then we record a show. After that, I think that'd be good. Because the show will still be around. Still be around then.
Yeah, that's why we're branching out into talking about things like Batman and Saturday Night Live. Because we know we can't talk about Magnum T.A. and Tully Blanchard every week.
And if you weren't entirely on board that we are nerds and our friends are nerds, we're at 2 hours and 5 minutes talking about Batman movies. And could go...
Oh, yeah, we just scratched the surface.
Yeah. Mark, any final thoughts on Batman movie? Any final thoughts?
No, I think we pretty much summed it up over the past two hours.
I would much rather live in a world with post-89, with Batman movies, than without Batman movies.
Oh, yeah, man. Because they're nice. Even the Burton and the Schumacher stuff, it's cool to throw them in a DVD player every couple of years and watch them.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Those movies... Superman Returns is banned. It will not be shown in my house.
Really?
With my knowledge, it will not.
I'm going to come over there and...
No, you will not.
Watch that movie.
Let me tell you.
I got it on DVD. It's just not that bad.
Listen,
of a movie.
Listen, I want to talk. Hey, we've more than said our piece about Batman movies. What do you think? Tell us. Listen, our Facebook page, there's a link to it. The Wrestling You Grew Up With. That's the Facebook group where the discussion takes place. Our page, we make announcements. We send out the links. We want you to join the discussion. We want you to send us a tweet on Twitter. Justin Donahoe, great about tweeting us. Hofer, we appreciate that, guys. We want this to be a discussion. Where are we wrong? Am I totally wrong on some of this? Is Mark totally wrong? We know we're not, but you can, live in your fantasy world forever. You can find me on Twitter at Heath Mulliken and Mark at...
The DDK Show.
Excuse me. Forgot my name for a minute. Heath at Heath Mulliken. And Mark is at The DDK Show. You can find all of our episodes, doubledropkick.com/episodes. You can download us on using the podcast app. If you're an Apple user, you can download us on Stitcher Radio. Please, let us know what you think. I would encourage you, if you like Batman on Film, go to that website, Batman on Film. But only after you've listened to this, shall I say, the definitive podcast episode in the history of the world on Batman movies.
Well, Kevin Smith.
If you go into one episode, though, he has a whole series.
This is it. Yeah.
Kevin Smith, who's that?
Who's this Kevin Smith guy people keep talking about?
So anyway, this has been an absolute blast. This has made my day. I believe I have said my piece. And now I will be back under legal restrictions on how I speak about Batman in public. So, as always, happy holidays to you. From the Double Dropkick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.